We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
It's true, and here's the thing. This is a controversy of Major League Baseball's own making. They own the baseballs that they make. Last year, they changed the baseballs, and they reduced the amount of drag. That's why we got the year that we got. And there's actually a writer named Meredith Wills. She's on Twitter as a baseball astrophysicist. She's been breaking down these baseballs for years. She's been at the forefront of it. And here's the thing about it. Major League Baseball has not been quiet on the fact that they want more offense. They want more home runs. They want more balls in play. So they changed the baseballs. Here's the thing. They just wouldn't admit it. It's just the weirdest thing in the world. All they had to do was say, yes, we changed the baseballs and went a little far. This year, they changed the baseballs. What they said was back, and instead, it's gone the exact opposite way. And again, another controversy of Major League Baseball's own making. It's not even that they're doing it, it's that they just won't admit it, and I don't understand why.
When Cody Decker drops a name, we follow up. Dr. Meredith Wills is on Twitter at @BBL_astrophysics without the I. She is an astrophysicist, PhD, works for the Baseball Hall of Fame, is a data scientist and baseball construction expert, and she joins the Bernstein and Rahimi show. Dr. Wills, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We appreciate having you on, and the process with which you came to be a studier of baseballs, and a noted one, I think, is worth discussing. An astrophysicist usually doesn't get into the baseball game unless it's a passion or there's some sort of paid reason. Tell us how you ended up being so interested in the baseball makeup.
For getting into baseball, I was born on opening day. I was 3 weeks old when my dad took me to my first ball game. I don't remember how old I was when I learned to keep score. I didn't become an astrophysicist till college, so it's kind of the other way around. But as far as taking the baseballs apart, I actually also am a knitter and do knitting design. And so in that case, I have been partnering with the Baseball Hall of Fame for things related to working with the yarn inside baseballs, which turns out to be knittable. So I got good at taking them apart. And then when the 2017 home run surge started, and we ended up with, they discovered that the surge was due to the ball. They couldn't find a difference. Because I'd gotten good at taking balls apart, I did manage to find a difference, and it kind of went from there. 2019, and I found differences for 2019. I found the source of sort of the weird, dead inconsistency for the 2019 postseason. I found more differences, including outright construction changes. Believe it or not, for 2020, and the changed baseball, the one with the new specifications, is the one that we were told when Stephanie Epstein did reporting on my work in Sports Illustrated earlier this year, and was exactly the same thing that GMs were told about the differences to the 2021 ball. So, so I just can't wait for MLB to stop changing the baseball.
And you would know, but one of the points that I thought that you made was so pivotal is that you made sure to unstitch the baseball because you had the knitting hobby background. that you knew that damaging by cutting the stitches, if you wanted to take the ball apart, was important. Tell me why unstitching the baseball was such a key factor in this.
Originally, actually, unstitching the baseball had more to do with the Hall of Fame collaboration that I was mentioning, in that I wanted to keep everything. I wanted to keep the covers. I wanted to keep the laces because these are original design projects that will ultimately, the finished pieces are to be auctioned off in support of the Hall of Fame, which is a 501c3. And, you know, if I wanted red laces, then I had to unstitch the ball as opposed to cutting through them. Because, like I said, the original motivation for taking them apart wasn't just for the sake of seeing what was inside. It was to preserve as much as I could so that I had things with which to make stuff for the Hall of Fame. So,
how much of the issues with how the ball flies? We know there's several vectors here. There is coefficient of restitution or elasticity, bounciness, and then there's the surface area and how slippery it is through the air, the drag portion of it. And I know both are measurable, and you can test and figure out actual data that supports this, but what is behind this new deadened ball that is contributing to a historical offensive lull?
Well, the deadened ball, and this one actually is, can I get that? One of my more recent ones for 2019. I hate Zoom sometimes. There we go. Let's turn it. Yeah
people watching on Twitch can see.
There we go. If you're watching on Twitch, I have a ball right here.
There it is.
So, oh, that's great.
I've got a lot of them. But, and I need more. So, you know, I'll do the shout out now. You know, if they can probably track me down through you guys, please get me baseballs. It would be great. As far as the changes, what they did was, like I said, the interior is yarn and there's several layers. And we were told by MLB, and again, the statement they gave us and the internal memo that they sent to GMs, which, by the way, when people talk about a press release or something, it wasn't that. It was a memo to GMs that was leaked and then reported. And so that's how we know about publicly and how the players know about this different baseball. But the way the ball is different is that very innermost layer of the three has actually been wound more loosely. And so that ends up making the ball kind of squish down more. There's more to squish. The way that I like to think about changing the coefficient of restitution in that way is it's a little bit like underinflating a basketball. Properly inflated one, it'll bounce. If you underinflate it, it doesn't bounce as well. So it's kind of the same thing. The problem, unfortunately, is that it looks like the way the testing was done, even for the COR, might have been overly controlled. What I'm finding is that a drier conditions, you know, they seem to do kind of what you expect when you're dealing with a humidor park. Most parks don't have humidors, and, you know, a lot of places are drier than it would be for a humidor, you know, overall. And so when those newer balls dry out, that less dense area is suddenly no longer that. It kind of shrinks down. And so you actually get a ball that is just as bouncy as it was before, but now is physically smaller and is also lighter, which we did know, which means that you'll have the same COR, the same bounciness, but it then comes off the bat faster because it's lighter. And it can, you know, in theory, it would be traveling farther, being smaller. However, the seams don't appear to shrink down quite the same way. So the drag has actually gone up, which is ironic because that's almost the opposite of what MLB originally told us and the GMs. That, by the way, COR was, you know, going to make the exit velocity go down. And the drag, it was implied, was going to be about the same, not exit velocity going up and the ball not traveling as well because of higher drag. So, yeah. It's interesting.
It's not just interesting.
It doesn't mean offense is down.
No, it's not just interesting. It's proof. And it's the data you need when we're trying to figure out what's going on. And you said it again, and you maintain this on your Twitter, and I think it's important. For all the stuff that we talk about, the sticky stuff, and for how that has become the major narrative, you're still maintaining it's the ball.
Well, sticky stuff has been around in some form for a very long time. I mean, technology moves forward. So, you know, yeah, we didn't have spider tack before. But this specifically the change to the ball with this lowering of the COR, I've actually, you know, gone back, you know, I've got a good 20 years worth of data, and going back farther, frankly, I just haven't like written it up yet. The interior of the ball, something called the center, has been pretty much the same, at least since 2000, and it looks like much, much earlier than that. They didn't actually change that part of the ball until September of 2019, which would have actually been part of the balls they made for 2020. And they ended up making roughly a third of the 2020 production was these different baseballs. They then switched back, which is a little odd.
That was the playoff ball, right?
Exactly.
People were talking about how the playoff ball was different.
Exactly. We're putting the...
Oh, that's the 2019 playoff.
Okay.
And by the way, it does turn out to be related. In that case, they did mix 2019, like the balls we were used to for, you know, traveling, you know, having way low drag. And it turns out they did mix them with balls that at the time I thought were 2018. Since then, I have actually cracked the batch codes. And it turns out, believe it or not, they were what we would call 2020s. They were manufactured as part of the 2020 production cycle. It just happened to be part that was from before October.
Wow.
So I keep picturing like teleporting the ball back in time for the postseason, which was fun. But yeah, the 2019 really stands out, and I don't think they're going to try that again, frankly. You know, it looks like it was just what I think they tried to speed up the drying process, and they ended up with that ball. So they've now gone back to making them from the outside. I mean, okay. Good example. This one, if people can see it on Twitch, is a 2017. This one is this year. They kind of look the same, don't they?
For those of us who can't see it, tell people on radio what the difference is that you see and how you see it.
Oh, for the, between the 20, the only from the outside, actually, that's kind of the point, is that even with that winding being different on the inside, you actually can't tell the difference until you take the covers off, unless the ball is very light physically, like, and that has to do more with the weight of the leather cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been taking all these apart knowing that there were two different baseballs in 2020, and I still couldn't, you know, a lot of the time tell just from the outside because the size was the same. And the weights would be lighter, but again, there's a huge variation in the weight of the covers. So players didn't know two ball. I mean, there were literally two different baseballs being used in games in 2020. This keeps not coming up. They used two different baseballs for that 60-game season. And the baseballs that were this new kind that, you know, are wound differently on the inside are what MLB told us is now the 2021 ball. But despite them telling us, oh, no, those weren't supposed to show up in 2020 games, I found them in 2020 games. I'm sorry. They were there. You know, you can – it's their problem if they showed up in 2020 games, but they were used. So baseball used two physically different balls that performed differently as part of the 2020 season. Nobody was told. They did at least let teams know, you know, sort of in advance, although they gave us a statement February 3rd. They sent the memo to GMs on February 5th. It was then leaked, I think, or published, as the leak on February 8th, and we published, or SI published the article on my research on February 9th in response to that. And the wording of their of the memo that was sent to GMs is the same as the statement they gave us 2 days before. So I suspect there's a relation there, you know. But at least it means the teams were told, unlike before. So
this is just shocking.
That's
news.
Amazing. Like they would, and then it's what did MLB know they were doing, and what did they not know? Because that comes on the heels of what Pete Alonso was alleging, this conspiracy theory of well, when pitchers are when the free agents to be are largely pitchers, they're going to drive down their value by cranking up offense. When the free agents to be are largely hitters, position players, they're going to have less offense to drive down their open market value. And my first thought was, I wouldn't put it past them, but that assumes a lot of competence that I'm not sure is there. And they sort of say, like, never ascribe to bad intent what is easier ascribed to incompetence. And that sort of seems
otherwise known as Hanlon's razor.
And, well, there you go.
One of my favorites.
And that's why I thought it might have happened that way, but that would take a lot of coordination for baseball to pull that off. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to that point, as far as free agent class, I think that's going a bit far. One thing that also, and when I did my study on the 2019 ball, one thing that was very interesting was that, you know, it was the first ball where MLB was directly involved. You know, that they did that purchase of some portion of Rawlings, which is basically the ball part, specifically to be more involved in manufacturing and oversight. And that times almost exactly with when production starts for what was ultimately used in 2019. There is an article that was in the New York Post with Joel Sherman on April 10th, I believe, of 2019, in which MLB officials said, you know, on the record to him, that they knew from their own internal testing that the drag was lower for the 2019 baseball. So they said this on April 10th. It was published. And then we start hearing things in May where players are surprised that the ball is different. We then get statements over the course of the season, really. And it isn't until almost the All-Star break where you then have Commissioner Manfred coming out and saying, yeah, we think it might be a drag issue. So it was sort of an odd approach in that they did know drag was down, which means they knew home runs were probably going to go up. And I did speak to players that season who were concerned, not because of free agents issues, but that it became, they were concerned about it being a contract negotiation issue. You know, if you're a pitcher, your numbers were going to look terrible. And so, you know, they could come in and say, look, your numbers are terrible for 2019. Why would we pay you that much? And if you're a hitter, they could come in and say, you know, yeah, your numbers look great, but it's the ball.
Oh, so
you're overperforming. Yep. And we shouldn't pay you that much because these numbers aren't representative.
And they cut everybody at the pass when they decided to manufacture them themselves, obviously.
Yes. And then of course, we have the situation now where, and even this ball is interesting because they really did only manufacture it. You know, we had like, you know, I think 3 months. By the way, we're talking a 12-month manufacturing cycle. So 3 months of what was the same as, say, the 2017 ball. Then a hard switch in manufacturing, 4 months of this new baseball with the less tightly wound center, then back to that equivalent of the 2017 ball for the rest of production. So the idea of that being done, and again, this is all in the Sports Illustrated article, which I would encourage people to read. It's Steph is an amazing writer, and she just did some great, great stuff. But this idea of a third of production, you know, 4 months is a third of production being dedicated to this baseball, which was then supposed to not be used in games, which also is interesting because that would have implied for regular season. And by the way, the change was in January, meaning way before we were planning for COVID. Had they had a full regular season, I think they would have been forced to use two baseballs anyway, which is odd. So there are some, the manufacturing decisions themselves are not something I understand. And they at least have come out, you know, when we asked for a comment that, you know, yeah, they were expecting these balls to perform differently. And they were very, very specific in how they were supposed to perform differently, both to us and to the GMs. And then those specific changes turned out to be absolutely not what we saw, although we did see different performance.
Wow.
So once again, it becomes interesting for, say, this year, how much, I don't know, you know, are pitchers going to get dinged in that same way with the way hitters would have been concerned last year that, oh, yeah, the ball is different, therefore the numbers aren't representative. You know, oh, yeah, your strikeout rates are high, but the ball was lending itself to high strikeout rates, therefore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what cuts against what Pete Alonso is saying, because if everybody knows what's going on, nobody's getting fooled.
But the problem is if there are two different balls in play, like, for example, last season.
Which we now know.
Right. Then it affects things even more. And one thing, I know we've got to wrap up with you, but Ian Happ, mm-hmm. our we'd like to say player, you know, of residence. He's our resident outfielder. He did say that he thinks that the seams are affecting and the stitching is affecting blisters. And you've talked about that
as well.
Oh,
is it happening again?
Yep.
They think so, but there's no way of knowing.
It should be, actually. I'm not surprised at all. In fact, that was the ball that we had before 2019 from mid-2015 to 2018. Yes, was very strongly correlated with blisters. I was surprised it didn't show up again in 2020, but it might have just been that the season was too short. Yeah, we should be seeing blisters from this ball. It's the first time I've heard that, but I'm not surprised at all.
Well, it's all coming together and making some sense here. I need to timeline all this and get it all in front of me to see all these different little marking points. It's absolutely fascinating stuff, mm-hmm. Dr. Willison. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. This was great.
Thank you.
That is Dr. Meredith Willis, Harvard-educated, astrophysicist, PhD, works for the Baseball Hall of Fame, data scientist as well. Wow! Two different baseballs last year. And she said she cracked the batch code, so she actually could tell. I mean, that is, the detective work here is really kind of cool. There's a book in this. You know, this is there's a whole lot going on.
Oh, there is. And I think the main points to take away, just to summarize quickly, is Major League Baseball owns the factory now.
Yep.
And that happened in 2018. And players say the ball is different. And she's saying it is. How much it's affecting the sticky stuff, that's something that I think they're still measuring. But the point being is, when players say the ball is different, they're onto something.
We're talking about the sticky stuff, too. Data is emerging about what is happening as we speak with whether or not pitchers are responding to the threat of a crackdown on sticky substances on the baseball. That data was just released, and I've got it for you next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There's a lot of different issues floating right now. I think it's good. I'll start with substance abuse or the stuff on the ball. I think it's good that players are having conversations about it. I think it's good that some of the rules will be enforced. I mean, it's in the rule book. It's not anything that's new. And I think it's good that players are having honest conversations about the best way to move forward, about making the game a little bit more clean and at least having a little bit more clear rules about what is and what is not allowed.
You're obsessed with this music right now.
It's so grandiose and like gothic. I thought it was Trans-Siberian Orchestra or something.
Like Evanescence or something like that?
Yeah, what is this?
This is Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria.
Okay.
Coheed and Cambria.
We've got to have that discussion about the return music. No, I don't mind this. It does make me laugh, though, because Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know there's not just one, right?
Oh, I know.
Did I burst everybody's bubble there?
And what's the other one? Mannheim Steamroller? Like, there's any number of these, like big classical metal Christmas bands that are playing at medium-sized arenas and theaters across America.
Coming to a medium-sized arena or theater near you, yes. Metal Christmas band.
They are. They all do that grandiose Christmas music. You've got a Cubs lineup, and I want to hear it.
Yes, I do have the Cubs lineup for today's game against the St. Louis Cardinals. And real opening day, Jock Peterson leads off in left. Then you've got Chris Bryant in center, batting second. Let's get weird. Javi Baez is at short, batting third. Anthony Rizzo batting cleanup. He's at first base. Wilson Contreras is catching. Patrick Wisdom, who was one of the three Cubs to get hit off Yu Darvish, is at third, batting sixth. Jason Hayward is in right, batting seventh. Alcantara is batting eighth. And Cole Stewart is your starting pitcher today.
Bryant in center. Okay. And by the way, thanks for everybody on Twitch and in Twitter and enjoying Dr. Wills and how interesting, how specific she was. I love the 708 who says, Dr. Wills ain't here for play. She's taking names and dates. Yeah, that's why she's asking for baseballs. If you caught a baseball at a game, get in contact with her on Twitter because she wants that baseball. And when she said that she's now hearing about some of these blister issues, thinking that there should be blister issues because of the nature of this baseball.
That was one of the most significant pieces of information we've gotten this season.
Yes. That they used two different balls last year? I mean, that's news. So is this, too. You heard what Ian Happ called the substance abuse. I found that really interesting. Travis Sawchuk on Twitter reports, in the first week since MLB announced a crackdown on sticky stuff, 63% of pitchers had reduced fastball spin. 34% had fastball spin down by more than half an RPM per mile per hour unit.
So, if you have a fantasy baseball team, hitting is for you this week.
Yep. And part of it, too, this is bat missing. A lot of this is bat missing, where the data for the ball comes from contact data, like actual result of contact.
Right.
So, that takes out the bat missing part, and the spin is used more for bat missing. So, maybe this is going to mean more contact. We will see. We can measure this now. 63% of all pitchers had reduced fastball spin in the first week.
You know what this is also? Acting guilty. Man, if that's not significant, I don't know what is.
Wow. I would not have guessed that. I really wouldn't. We have the Midday Midway coming up next. I don't know how to describe my story other than something I happened on last night that I found immensely entertaining. It involves live entertainment accessible to you all summer.
I don't know that we have time to get to the second story because it's such a packed show today. So
we'll
I don't want to tease it. I just want to hear. This was really good in the pre-show meeting, and I don't want to undersell it.
Okay. I also wanted to mention, too, that I had mentioned yesterday that we were going to have fun with non-fungible tokens at some point. We are going to do that. We're just going to move that into next week.
Yeah. It can wait because this is a packed day.
Yeah. We got a lot going on here, including the Midday Midway next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Cubs manager David Ross was live with Lawrence Holmes to talk about the buzz at Wrigley Field.
For you as a manager, going from the extreme of having no fans in the stands to now, what's it like?
It's amazing. I hadn't heard it since really being in the dugout since my days of playing. So last year, obviously, we didn't have any of that. The sun's shining, fans are out. It's really a great atmosphere, and I don't know there's a better place on the planet to watch a baseball game.
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs, an Odyssey station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Today we're getting excited for the return of real baseball, and you can feel the energy. You can feel the energy, as Colin Faulkner was saying, around the park, because he joined us from the park to tell us exactly what's going on, Cubs Executive VP of Sales and Marketing. And I think the key word here is patience. Just understand that there is going to be some understaffing. There are some people who are going to be out of position, who are doing things that they're not used to doing. Your menu items are going to be fewer because they're trying to make things easier and faster, but try to avail yourself of all of the electronic possibilities before you get up and get in line. And they're hopeful that fan behavior isn't going to be as sociopathic as it's been at other fully attended sporting events either. We had some breaking news with Dr. Meredith Wills, the astrophysicist who cracked the code on the batch numbers for Major League Baseball. She said that last year they were using two different balls. What? And also describing why this ball's behaving as erratically and differently as it is.
And cites a Sports Illustrated article discussion in February, if you want to look that up too. But the blister discussion, to me too, is still a huge piece of this. Dan, you have to do this the way you did this in the pre-show meeting.
Fine.
Okay.
I will present this as I did, and I'll tell the story. So yesterday, my wife and I get a text from our daughter. She says, I'm not coming home after work when I said because we're going to a concert. I said, what concert? She said, it's in Rosemont in the park. And I said, well, what band? She says, I don't know and I don't care. We're just going to go and eat and hear some live music. And I said, okay, cool. Enjoy. Let us know when we can expect you home. Right? Great. So then I thought, I wonder what concert it is. So I looked it up, and I looked up Rockin' in the Park, and it's at Parkway Bank Park. We've been there. Terry and I have done any number of shows from any number of the restaurants that surround that park. It is the Rockin' in the Park free summer concert series, food, drinks, music. And then I looked at the bands, and I'm not going to read all of them, but tell me if you sense a trend here in the kind of bands that we see in Rockin' in the Park, okay? May 30th was Dancing Queen. With painstaking attention to detail, Dancing Queen has recreated an ABBA experience that's second to none. Fronted by two dynamic ladies with angelic voices and backed by a group of world-class musicians, the music of the greatest pop band in history comes to life in a Las Vegas-inspired show that captivates audiences both young and old. Cool, right? Thursday, June 3rd, Chicago Tribute Anthology, or CTA. Chicago Tribute Anthology is a Chicago tribute band and performs the music of one of the most popular and enduring bands of all time, Chicago.
Oh, God.
All songs are performed in their original full-length versions and are meticulously recreated.
Why didn't they just call it College Football Playoff?
Okay, so this was last night's show. Rumors ATL. Rumors is a Fleetwood Mac tribute band based in Atlanta. Rumors captures the energy of Fleetwood Mac at the height of their career by blending perfect harmonies, precise instrumentation, and a visually engaging stage show.
Okay. What does that mean?
I'll just wait. Just wait. There's more. Next Thursday, June 17th, Southern Accents.
Is this a magazine?
Southern Accents recreates the music, style, and sound of Tom Petty professionally with immaculate precision and wildly contagious enthusiasm. United in their quest to offer the ultimate Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers experience, each member of the band looks the part, plays the part, and lives the part. How do you live the part? Are you never out of character? Are you always Mike Campbell?
You physically live the part of Tom Petty?
Well, then you'd be dead.
Correct.
That's bad luck. You slow up a lot. we would have had Tom here, but he's living the part, so he's just lying there.
Do we have like a dynamic concert like ad bed for this announcement?
Oh, there's so just wait. Thursday, June 24th, and I don't know how you're allowed to call yourself this. Led Zeppelin 2. You're not even hiding it. You're not even trying.
Led Zeppelin
2. Drenched in satin and denim, Led Zeppelin 2 delivers intense, raw energy. Similar to the legendary rock and roll group, the band recreates the sight, sound, and pure rock and roll euphoria of Led Zeppelin while also bringing life to new improvisation and onstage interaction.
What does that mean? On stage interaction. Also, isn't everyone drenched in some sort of denim?
Friday, July 2nd, Super Diamond. Super Diamond delivers a smoke-filled show performing Neil Diamond's power ballads and up-tempo hits with unrestrained enthusiasm.
These are just getting fake now. No, like, they're not real names.
Rush Tribute Project, or RTP, pays homage to Rush by combining skilled musicianship with exciting performances.
Wait, I'm still figuring out how people live the part of the Tom Petty cover band.
Thursday, July 15th, Silver Bullet Band's STL, a show-stopping 10-piece tribute to the music of Bob Seger. I'm not done. Thursday, July 22nd, Atomic Punks. This group pays tribute specifically to the glory days of Van Halen, fronted by David Lee Roth. Roth himself referred to the group as the best tribute to Van Halen ever.
There can't be a Van Halen tribute band unless you play guitar like Eddie Van Halen, and you don't. If you did, you'd be not in a tribute band.
The Atomic Punks have been recreating Eddie Van Halen's classic guitar sound.
I'm still trying to figure out if these names are real.
Look.
They don't sound real. Wait. You could be saying anything.
July
right
29th
now.
Is Bebe Lestrange, a heart tribute band known for their monster vocals and musicianship.
No.
Bebe Lestrange.
This is actually cute.
Could also be a romance novelist.
This is kind of cute. Yachtly Crew doing yacht rock, inspired by soft rock classics.
Wait, are they doing the crew as soft rock?
They should, if you're called Yachtly Crew. August 19th, Motley Incorporated. A reminder why Motley Crue was one of the greatest bands to come from the Sunset Strip. From Red Hot to Dr. Feelgood and Girls, 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 the band performs iconic Motley Crue songs.
Motley Incorporated. Okay, that's decent.
Your Eagles tribute band is Heartache Tonight, and you've got a this is my favorite, my absolute personal favorite, Thursday, September 2nd. Elton Ron. As Elton Ron, Ron Camilleri recreates the feeling of seeing a 1970s Elton John concert.
Elton. Hey, we've got Elton Ron performing at your birthday party. Elton John? No. Elton Ron.
But we got you, Elton Ron. He's amazing.
I'm on Elton Ron's website, and if you squint real hard, it kind of looks like Elton John.
Really?
Yeah.
Like young Elton John?
He's got a blonde bowl cut.
Okay.
It'll work.
So which one did your daughter actually...
She saw Rumors ATL doing Fleetwood Mac.
Rumors Atlanta? Is that what ATL is?
That's where they're based. And
not to be confused with like Rumors Sheboygan or something?
Different. Yeah, different. They soak them in beer first there, and then they grill them.
Rumors ATL is really good, but Rumors Sheboygan is just okay.
just kind of, yeah, they're playing at the VFW fish fry. I don't know why I enjoy this so much. I hope you did as well, because the person booking this has to have so much fun.
Yeah, but the person writing the copy for this, I do not envy, because like I would be cry laughing the whole time I wrote it.
And this is great. Stonecutter for the win. Why are all of these bands named like late 90s score callers?
Is it true? Your face, Dan's face is red.
It's funny because it's true.
You indicate that it is true.
Oh my God, that's great. Okay, we're going to have some fun continuing next, because we're going to talk with Jaden Fields, outfielder for the University of Georgia softball team, and maybe also the sister of the Bears quarterback.
Seems like an athletically talented family.
I think so. We'll talk to her next on The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.